When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
American soccer fans, welcome to episode number 128 of the USA Soccer Cast. We are bringing you everything about the U.S. national teams, the players, the leagues, and everything else that impacts the game of soccer in these United States. I'm Donald Wine, and this week, today, as we record on Monday, March 18th, 2024, the United States will have a new look. Today, U.S. Soccer and Nike officially revealed the 2024 home and away jerseys for the U.S. soccer teams. The U.S. men's national team, women's national team, all the youth, and all the extended national teams for the very first time will wear these jerseys together beginning this Thursday when the U.S. men's national team takes the field against Jamaica in the CONCACAF Nations League semifinals. Now, this has been rumored for quite a while. I think for most people who have been on the internet, they have seen these jerseys. I know we've talked about some of the leaks over at Stars and Stripes FC, and as we saw, the 2024 jerseys have names this time around. The home jersey is being dubbed the American Classic Kit, and the away is named the American Icon Kit. So let's take these one at a time, and if you have not seen them yet, let's go through them. They're online, again, starsandstripesfc.com. They're online everywhere, but this is what they mainly look like. The classic home jersey is a predominantly white jersey with red, white, and blue trim. It resembles a flag design on the collar and the sleeve cuffs, and of course is paired with navy shorts and white socks. And the shorts have that same kind of trim that you see on the sleeve cuff. The away jersey, the icon jersey, is predominantly blue with a pattern at the bottom that takes inspiration from the 2014 away jersey, which we know as the Bomb Pops. They are paired with red shorts and red socks, and the red shorts kind of help create the design as it flows from blue to white to red. It flows into the shorts. Now, again, for the first time, each of the 27 national teams under U.S. Soccer's umbrella is going to wear the same jersey, including the extended national teams. And I thought it was cool that in the reveal of the jerseys, U.S. Soccer used some of the extended national team players along with the men's and women's senior teams to reveal the jerseys. So I thought that was really cool to utilize the true essence of one nation, one team, which is obviously the messaging they've been using for quite a while. When we look at the home jersey, I think the disappointment in it for me is that it's another white jersey. And look, anybody who out there who knows me personally knows that I've been the chairman and CEO of the Waldo Fan Club since its arrival in 2012. I still think we should bring them back. I think that they are the jersey identity that we want, need, and desire. And for some reason, we just don't have it. But in this white jersey, it doesn't really invoke a lot of creativity or inspire it. They look like the 2020 jerseys. A lot of people have tried to stretch it to the Centennials. I will tell you, I love the Centennial jersey, but mainly for the crest on it and not necessarily for the jersey that it was on. There's a couple of details that feel off. The mismatching blues, the swoosh is a little bit darker of a navy than the trim and the shorts are. And it didn't feel like this was something that inspired a look, inspired, again, a unity essence that they're trying to create. On the away jerseys, I think they did a little bit better. They aren't bad. They, again, look somewhat inspired by the 2014 Bomb Pops. It's a decent design, and it probably could grow on people. And I think the away jersey has always had that ability to grow on people. Every away jersey that we've had over the course of time, even the ones that people started out hating, people eventually grow to at least appreciate it. And sometimes with the home jersey, it's either you love it or you hate it. Of course, people end up buying it. But at the end of the day, the main thing that fans want is a jersey identity. That would be the nice part. And As we enter the summer, we have obviously Copa America, we have the Olympics. People wanted to have that identity on the field, especially up against all of these national teams that already have this identity that's been established, obviously, for decades and decades. We're not there yet. And the one thing that can make us at least look like we're there yet is a jersey identity that we can call our own. Now, if that is going to be the white jersey with navy shorts and white socks, I know there's going to be some people that are happy with that. I wouldn't be, but at least they would have something. They would have an identity to call their own. But I think in the Waldos, especially, you can draw upon some of those elements of the U.S. flag. And honestly, I think at the end of the day, fans want to wear something that they can feel like they're representing in. I know I do. And I know others that feel the same. We want it where if we're at a World Cup, we're at an Olympics, we're at Copa America this summer, that when you see a sea of people walking down the street and you see the U.S. jersey, that everyone knows instantaneously what that jersey is and who those fans are. And they will say, oh my goodness, the Americans are here. They're out in full force. You can see them in the stands. When you wear white jerseys, that doesn't necessarily pop the same way that a Waldo does. Take, for example, Croatia. I keep harking back to this example. Croatia has a checkerboard jersey. And with them, it does not matter what jersey they wear, whether it's 2008, whether it's 1996, it doesn't matter. They have the same checkerboard style. It may change briefly or just like very, very, you know, small details. But you sit somebody in a 96 jersey next to a 2008 jersey, next to a 2018 jersey, next to a 2022 jersey, and you will know that they are all Croatian fans. For the U.S., you put all those jerseys from those years that I just mentioned next to each other, you won't know what jersey is which. You know that they may be American, you know they may be England, they may be France, they may be something else, but you know you cannot instantaneously identify them as American jerseys. I think when it comes to the jersey identity moving forward, I think they should draw upon some of the styles that fans love, but I feel like the Federation and Nike should go to those fans that buy those jerseys to help establish that identity. We know what we want. We know what we want to buy. Give us that. It's one of those things where you want people to feel like they are part of the process, because then if you go through this whole process and you end up right back where you started with a white jersey and navy shorts and white socks, then you can understand that, hey, we brought in everybody who has something to say about these jerseys, who really want to be a part of that process. But we're not a part of that process. And I'd love to be a part of it. USASoccerCast@gmail.com if you want to include me in the discussions for the 2026 jersey. But that's one where we cannot miss. 2026 is one we cannot miss. 2027, if it ends up we're hosting the 2027 Women's World Cup, we cannot miss that either. And I recognize there are people out there who have differing opinions that are wrong, that may not like the Waldos. But for 2026, I think they should rely on the fans that have been here day in and day out to develop that identity that can last for generations and then actually stick with it. Because I think at the end of the day, that's what we want. Many people think that U.S. soccer can develop a jersey identity where jerseys look similar and they have an actual identity, a theme that permeates throughout everything. When we go to the World Cup and we see Argentina fans, they wear, I swear to you, there's people who probably have 40 of this, what looks to be the same jersey in their bag, and that's all they wear, because they know that no matter where they go, if they wear that jersey, they will find others that wear that same jersey, and they're going to be identified immediately as Argentine fans, and they're going to be bonded by that. We don't have that. We have to search through a crowd, and in true actuality, when we find Where's Waldo, we still have to look through the needle in the haystack and look through those pictures to find people who are American fans, whereas other sets of fans that have long established jersey identities don't have to do that. That's what we want to get to, at least from the aesthetic standpoint. Of course, on the field, that doesn't change how we perform. But look good, feel good, play good, and at least in the stands, we want to look good and feel good so that we can cheer good. We can be a part of that process. So hopefully that's something that they're looking at moving forward. Hopefully they're looking at something that's going to wow the world in 2026. The 2024 jerseys don't quite get there. And I know some people that's disappointing, especially when you look at other nations that receive jerseys that people think are really, really good looking, or again, are part of an established identity that they can feel like ties in with what they have going on. And I feel like U.S. Soccer and Nike can work together to get that done with the fans. That's what I'm hoping for. But for now, we have a look. It will be debuted this weekend at the Nations League Finals in Dallas, the home and away jerseys. What do you think? USASoccerCast@gmail.com. Tell us our thoughts on it. Let's take a quick break. On the other side, we review the women's national team's victory in the W Gold Cup and why the team still have some work to do as they prepare for the Olympics. Stick around. Hey everyone, are you looking for the latest gear for your U.S. national teams, Major League Soccer, the NWSL, or any other team in the world of soccer? The USA SoccerCast has affiliate partnerships that are ready to help you out. Head to linktree.com/USASoccerCast, where we have links to Homage, Fanatics, the MLS Store, and Breaking Tee. You can get the jersey, shirt, hat, or accessory you're looking for to support your team while also saving some money and helping this show in the process. Again, linktree.com/USASoccerCast. Click on the links and get your gear. And we thank you as always for your support of the show. We are back and we shift our gears to the women's national team, who, of course, over the past few weeks, competed in the W Gold Cup, the inaugural edition of the W Gold Cup. And in true fashion, the first ever W Gold Cup was hoisted by the United States. Congratulations to the U.S. women's national team. They went 5-1 in their tournament, starting with a 5-0 victory against the Dominican Republic and ending with a 1-0 win over Brazil in the W Gold Cup final. Now, it wasn't all fun and games at this tournament. There was a lot of things that happened. Of course, the U.S. lost to Mexico 2-0 in the closing stages of the group stage. They struggled against Colombia. They really struggled against Canada, needing penalties to advance there. And by penalties, I mean Alyssa Nair, who single-handedly won that penalty shootout for the United States by stopping three and scoring one of her own that proved to be the game winner. In between, yeah, there were some blowouts. USA beat Dominican Republic 5-0. They beat Argentina 4-0. They even beat Colombia 3-0. But it wasn't all sunshine and rainbows. There wasn't a lot to take home from this other than the women's national team still has a lot of work to do. It starts up front. It really hurt that the day before the very first game against the Dominican Republic, Mia Fischel tore her ACL. She had to withdraw from the roster. We wish her a speedy recovery, and we really hope to see her back because I was so looking forward to watching her thrive in this tournament. She was replaced by Alex Morgan, who started a couple games. She scored a couple of goals, and there was at least a little bit of replacement there. But when you talk about the women's national team, their trajectory still seems to be flat because we haven't really figured out what we are going to do with some of the personnel on this roster. After the W Gold Cup, the new rankings came out about a week ago, and the women dropped to fourth. It's the lowest ranking they've ever had since the rankings started in 2003. They dropped from second to fourth. And a lot of that was based in part on that Mexico loss in the group stage. But when you look at some of the key pieces here, there's still a lot of questions that need to be asked and need to be answered by everyone when it comes to the formation of this team as we move forward to Shibley's Cup and to the Olympics. The golden ball was won by Jaden Shaw, who had a breakout tournament and did extremely well. A person who was probably on the fringe of the national team is now solidly in the picture. And most fans can't picture the Olympics proceeding without her on that roster. But this roster is only going to have 18 players. I think that's the key. The W Gold Cup at 23, and we left a lot of people at home. Aubrey Kingsbury, Sophia Huerta, Kelly O'Hara, Savannah DeMello, Andy Sullivan, Ashley Sanchez, Taylor Flint, Ashley Hatch, Alyssa Thompson. All of them were left at home. Alex Morgan and Becky Sauerbrunn initially were left at home until injuries forced them onto the Gold Cup roster. Becky Sauerbrunn replaced Lana Cook, and as I mentioned, Morgan replaced Mia Fischel. And when we talk about some of the better teams in the world, we have a lot of things that we need to fix to make it where we are playing a style of soccer that will once again make the world quake in fear. I don't know if that's coming soon, but here are some of the questions that we saw from this Gold Cup. There's questions with the midfield and the passing. There's questions with creativity. Finishing up front, we need a number nine that's going to be consistent at scoring goals, and we need to maybe put the fate of that in the hands of some of the younger players that were left on the bench or even off of the roster. As I mentioned, the Olympics only has 18 players. I just mentioned the list of players that did not make the roster. Now you see Kateryna Macario and Mal Swanson are back from injury. In the case of Kateryna Macario, she's already scoring goals. Maybe she's the answer at the nine. Maybe she's the answer to her creativity in the midfield. But either way, she factors into this Olympic roster, of which, again, 23 players are going to be reduced to 18. So Emma Hayes, who is not yet coaching the national team, she will be coaching the team when they take the field in the June window, June 1st in Denver. She's going to have a lot of things she has to figure out. This team needs to get better. It needs to get faster. It needs to get more creative on the ball. It needs to be more ruthless on defense. And they need to figure out those combinations that work. And Emma Hayes has to have the courage to go with those combos that do work and have even more courage to leave players at home that aren't cutting it, because 18 players is not a lot of players. That's, again, you're still cutting probably one goalkeeper. You're cutting a few defenders. You're cutting a few forwards. You're not bringing 23 people. You're not even bringing 26 to a camp. And I think that's where the competition is going to really pick up amongst the players in this player pool. The NWSL just started. WSL is in their closing part of the league. The French league is wrapping up fairly soon. And there's going to be a lot of players who are going to have some final opportunities to impress Emma Hayes before she fully takes over. Because once she takes over, it's a wrap. She basically is going to need to have her mind almost made up off of 4 days or 5 days of competition in that June window. That is going to be an impossible task for Emma Hayes, but these players need to make it that much more difficult for her as she enters the job full time and really thrusts herself into the fray as establishing her style of play, how she wants to attack teams. And that it all just adds to the questions for this team. They have She Believes Cup coming up in April, another test. They will be playing Japan in the semifinal, and then they will play either Canada or Brazil again. So we'll see some of the top teams in the world in Atlanta and Columbus in April. After that, South Korea in June, and then perhaps some send-off matches before they go to Paris. But this is going to be a very interesting time for the women's national team. Speaking of the Olympics, we will learn who they will be playing in the group stage in the Olympics this week. The Olympic draw is on Wednesday, and we'll find out both for the men and the women who they're going to be playing. But for the that will also help maybe get this team geared on the course that they need to try and win gold in Paris. Will they win gold in Paris? I don't know. Will some of these players be ready? We don't know. Will some of the younger players fully step up and kind of push some of the other players out of the way? Maybe. But that's the questions that face this team moving forward as they try to reestablish themselves as one of the best teams in the world, if not the best team in the world. Then they're going to have many opportunities to go out and prove it, but they need to figure out how to win when the pressure is on them the most, when it's going for gold medals, when it's going for bronze medals, the silver medals, whatever medal they end up having, if they get one at all. They need to figure out how to adapt to how the rest of the world is playing us. This is not a case of the world catching up to us. They did that already. They did that back in 1995. Any talk that they have done that recently is out of, it's just out of line, because that happened a long time ago. But what we were great at doing is dominating with the players and the generation that we had 8 years ago and 4 years ago. Now we have to do that again. We have to figure out what these teams are doing to get a leg up on us and do the same thing right back to them. And that takes a lot of time that we don't have. So I'm interested to see what Emma Hayes does as we lead into June, because she's going to be not in charge of the team until then. But I'm interested to see how this program goes, how they start to reestablish the foundation and figure out which of these young players that are really going to factor into this Olympic squad. It's fascinating stuff, and we're going to stay on top of it as we move forward. Again, she believes it's only in a couple of weeks. But that will do it for episode number 128 of the USA SoccerCast. Thank you so much for listening. Remember to follow us on Twitter, and we are on YouTube as well. Find us on both at USA SoccerCast. Subscribe, rate, and review our episodes. It really helps, and it's greatly appreciated. Don't forget, we have affiliate programs with a ton of places to get you the gear you love and help you travel to see your favorite teams play or watch them from the comfort of your home. We have partnerships with Homage, Fanatics, Kitbag, ESPN Plus, Fubo TV, Paramount Plus, Hilton, Marriott, United, and so much more. So head to our linktree.com/USA Soccercast to learn more. Click those links to those sites and support the show in the process. We'll talk to you again soon, y'all. Peace.